Yes, it's coffee time.
It's about time for the coffee break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. I'm not so good at rapping. I wish I was better. But yes, it's coffee break time. Get on up, get that coffee in hand, and you know what? Just be here with us tonight. We are excited for the fellowship. We are grateful for the fellowship. We hope that everybody has had a good week. And yeah, it was a good week, but also I know tough as we are all feeling the, I don't know what to say, Yusuf, how to really describe it. We all just feel the burden of, you know, lockdown still and this quarantine still and making us a little bit airheaded. And in fact, you know, even though, you know, keeping busy and doing meaningful things and meaningful work does kind of, you know, make your world shrink. It makes life small and it's just so weird, isn't it? And so, you know what, tonight I pray that we will have some great fellowship with one another, fellowship with the spirit of Yeshua, and that we will just hear his word for us tonight and that he will just be among us. Ooh. And so, Yusuf, how are you doing this evening? My headphones giving me a bit of a smack over the head right now. How are you doing this evening?
It's kind of, we all need that smack every now and again. So maybe it's just catching up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing great and it's good to be on the coffee break. I think that this is a time of sanity in the week. You know, the week has been a bit crazy. As Aaliyah said, with this lockdown, it just seems to not come to an end. And even though some things have changed and some restrictions have been lifted, there's still that thought in the back of your head that you're still not free and you're still not living a normal life like you should. But we continue to trust the Father and all of those of you that are in your own country, wherever you are, whatever the situation is at the moment, we know that Yahweh still has great things in store for all of us. So this evening, it's coffee time again, Aaliyah. And like I said, this is a time every week that we get together. And it's really a time where the Father ministers to our hearts and where we can fellowship together. And I know for many of you listening, it's a time that you look forward to. And I also look forward to it every week, because even though we're presenting it, I still believe that Yahweh speaks to us just as much as he speaks to you. So this evening, I pray that he'll be speaking to us just as much as he speaks to you. And that no matter what you've gone through this week, that Yahweh will be for you and help you and strengthen you as you move into this next week. And as we just continue day by day, week by week, continuing to serve him and trusting him, Aaliyah, and trusting that he's got, you know, great things in store for us. So Aaliyah, would you like to pray for us this evening, and then let us start with the coffee break?
Abba Father, we just thank you so much this evening that we can fellowship with you and that we can be joined together and fellowship with one another, Father. And I just really pray that, Abba Father, you would just have your will and way, not only for the coffee break, but Father, for our lives in general, as we find ourselves in such crazy times and such strange waters, Father. And we know that it's not easy, and Father, some days are good and some days are hard. So Father, we pray that you will help us. We know that without you, Father, it would be a lot harder. And so we are grateful for you tonight. We're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your amazing love that you have for us. And Father, we just really pray tonight that you will just minister your word to us, Father, and that you will just, like I said, Father, fellowship with us, Father, and just help us hear words for our hearts tonight, Father, that we need to hear from you. And we thank you for this in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, I know that last week we weren't on the coffee break last week, and thank you so much to everyone who has been praying for us. And it was such a intense time of, you know, pouring this or dropping the pot all over my hand. And it was really, really bad. The burn was really bad. But, I, when it happened, I just prayed to the Father immediately and said to him, Father, you know, I know that you've done miracles for many people, so I pray that you will do a miracle for me. And so I have, my hands been healing well. And now I just have this really bad burn still on my wrist, which I'm trying to take care of. But thank you to everybody just for praying for me. And it really is something I've had to kind of walk through this week, because for a few days I couldn't use anything because it's just on this area that just gets you when you're on your computer or when you're on anything. So it was quite a drama. But yes, feeling a little bit better, and just at least didn't have to take medication or anything for that. But my hand was literally in a silicone glove, and when the water fell into the glove, so my hand was submerged in this water before I could, and it was crazy. Yes, it was crazy.
Praise Yahweh that it's all better now, though, and it's getting healed. So
it's getting better.
We're grateful for that. Aaliyah, this evening, I know that, you know, we're going to be speaking about something that's very important, and I feel, you know, so often we listen or we read stories in the Bible, and we read it the way that maybe we've been taught in a church before, or maybe we've heard it, you know, on, I don't know, some kind of teaching somewhere. And oftentimes we go to biblical books like that. For example, we'll maybe read the story of David, and we always focus, you know, on David and Goliath, but we miss so much more about David's life and who he was. Or Esther, or Deborah, or Elijah, or any person in the scriptures. So often we get the stories, but it's always kind of like one part of the story, like we spoke a couple of weeks ago, is highlighted, like Daniel in the lion's den, or you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those kind of stories are always highlighted. But when we look at the Bible, and we see that, you know, it's actually a story of people's lives, and it's a story of Yahweh's dealings with mankind from the very beginning all the way through, and we begin to see the things that are happening to them and how they manage it, how they kind of, you know, live through certain things. We can learn a lot. And when we begin to read the scriptures for what it's worth, not just looking for those, you know, those highlighted, you know, kind of Hollywood stories that are always highlighted, but really looking at what the Bible tells us and looking at the characters and the things that they go through in the scriptures, we begin to see patterns and life stories and things that can impact our lives right now in the times and the things that we're going through, if we just want to really look at it. And it's got to do with reading, and it's got to do with kind of understanding the culture, understanding the times and the days that, you know, that they're living in. And it does take sometimes a little bit of effort, and it does take sometimes a little bit of digging a little bit in. But when we do that, we get to, you know, we really get to understand Yahweh's heart through history and through the Bible for us. And I think this evening we're going to be looking at, you know, someone in the scriptures whose life really, really speaks a lot. And not only his life, but the whole story about this person's life is kind of significant, I believe, for the times that we find ourselves in now. And not only now, but as people who serve Yahweh as a body, you know, who serve Yahweh as a community of believers, there's so much in the story that we can learn from as a community. And Yahweh desires for us not to be, you know, lone rangers. He wants, there's times where we need to be lone rangers, and there's times where we need to go out and do the work. But he wants us to be a community, and as a community, he wants us to learn certain things. And I really feel this evening, Aaliyah, that as we touch on the life of this person and the story that we're going to look at, that for every single one of us, that there's so much that we can learn from it today and tie up to the message, the prophetic message that Yahweh is speaking right now at this time.
You know what? I'll disclaim something before we continue. That, you know what? Where we live, there are people cut down probably about 700 million trees and light fires like every single night. I don't know what the people do in our area. That is why I'll be so glad to move out of this area, because they literally make fires and smoke, and it's like crazy. So in the night, my chest goes crazy in this place. So if I'm like half struggling to breathe and coughing, just bear with me. You know what? I'm so glad you mentioned what you mentioned, Yosef, about just touching on one aspect of people's lives. Because this week I have Yahweh willing, a great teaching coming out, another Esther teaching. And it was something that Yahweh also revealed to me about her life, which I won't get into, that, you know, we focus so much on, you were born for such a time as this. What does that even mean? I'm so sick of that. And it's like Yahweh is saying, like, we focus so much on born for such a time as this. What time? And by focusing on, like you said, key aspects of what we understand, David and Goliath, or Samson with Delilah, whatever, we miss so much of the story. And that's what's happening. You you know. So tonight we are focused on Nehemiah, but we're focusing on something else that's happening. And I really pray that we will have the eyes to see and ears to hear tonight, because we have to hear what our Father is saying to us through this. And it's a warning to us, a caution to us, a challenge to us, a ministry to us tonight that will go forth from this book of Nehemiah. And you know what? We know that Nehemiah is a very, very specific story. We know that in the year 586 BC, the Jewish people were exiled from their land, you know, of, you know, Israel, that they loved and worked, but also that they had been there and sinning against the land by not observing the Sabbaths of the land, but then also worshiping idols and defiling the land. So Yahweh exiling them. Temple of Yahweh burnt to the ground, walls of Jerusalem destroyed, you know, everything smoldering in this ash heap. And then they go into exile into Babylon, and there Yahweh says, you stay, you plant, you seek the good, and you dwell here, you know. So we know that that's just history. But then 48 years later, what we don't realize is that the first group of exiles returned, because some people were left behind in Jerusalem. You know, it was the poor people, the workers, they were left behind in this ash heap of Jerusalem, whereas all the, you know, nobles, people that were seen as kind of worthy, they were taken to Babylon. But again, 48 years later, this first group of tiny little bit of exiles, they go back to Jerusalem and they're living there. And we actually spoke about this very story actually on the coffee break not so long ago. A further 8 years elapse, and then there's the second set of Jewish exiles that return to Jerusalem, and they do so with Ezra, the priest. And then 13 years later, Nehemiah returns to Jerusalem, and there he has, you know, Artaxerxes of Persia has given him this blessing to just rebuild and everything. And it was placed in Nehemiah's heart by Yahweh to rebuild the walls. And we know, like we've said before, that Nehemiah's task was not only a physical task of rebuilding these walls to physically protect against enemies, but really, Yosef, it was a spiritual task as well. And this links into the idea of being a gatekeeper, you know, protecting the walls and watching the gates and understanding what's coming in. And the walls and the gates of the cities, you know, of the city of Jerusalem was completely destroyed. And it bothered Nehemiah so, so much. And he told the people this is what they had to do, because they were so defenseless in the face of enemies around them if these walls were just broken down. And then we know that, you know, it was this momentous task that was placed inside of Nehemiah's heart. And so, you know, Yahweh did bless him, and he arrived in Jerusalem, set about repairing the walls, encouraging the people to stand fast in this face of adversity. Because the community are living in Jerusalem, they're struggling, they don't have proper food supplies, that's the first thing. You know, their mere presence as well in the Holy Land just invoked this fear and hatred of people living around them, which is quite interesting if you think about it, because it's this small Jewish remnant that's living in this area, and yet there's these tribes and these people around them that are suddenly, you know, intimidated by them and so intimidated by who they are. And, you know, that in itself should speak to us and say, you know, that sometimes we feel like our lives are so small or our influence is so tiny, or, you know, our voice is only reaching one person, or we're only ministering to one guy and that's our neighbor next door, or, you know what, our presence in the world is so tiny, how could we be, you know, making a difference? And yet, you know, the enemy comes against us and there's these realities that he puts in front of us. So we need to realize that we ourselves are not as small as we think we are. You know, when we are doing exactly what Yahweh wants us to do, whether it's just praying every day, or whether it's just ministering to one person, or whether it's just being faithful in a hard season, or whether it's whatever we are doing, we don't need to be big and bold and out there, you know, standing in front of millions of people. We are a huge threat to the enemy, no matter how small we think we are. And that's really what happened with the Israelites in Jerusalem. They were just there. You know, they returned. This was their land. This was their home. They just returned and they built their houses and then they were living there. There was nothing much going on. And yet their mere presence in this land just invoked fear and hatred in the people. And now this is where the story is going to get interesting, because a number of enemies start rising up against the Israelites. And the book of Nehemiah mentions three specific people that rise up. And there's this Arab man named Geshem that rises up. And then this Samaritan named Sanballat that rises up. And then there's this Ammonite called Tobiah. And it says that this Ammonite Tobiah man, he lived outside the city. He lived quite far away, but he would watch them. He would see what they were doing. And not only were these men opposed to the building project of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah chapter 6 actually tells us that they went so far as to try and kill him. Mm. You know, he's busy building the walls. He's minding his own business. You imagine him up there on a ladder, a little scaffolding, a little bit of cement on the one side, a little brick on the other side, little utensils in his hand. He's just like, you know, Michelangelo underneath the Sistine Chapel. I'm just getting on with my work, you know. Mm. No one is bothering me. I'm not bothering anybody. And in the book of Nehemiah, these guys just start sending messages saying, hey, meet us here. Hey, meet us here for a coffee. You know, meet us here for a frappe. Meet us here for a latte, you know. And he's just like, guys, you know what? Yahweh has told me that they're trying to kill me. That's what they're doing. So he's minding his own business, getting on with the work, Yosef, that Yahweh has called him to do, not affecting anybody, but yet they are so threatened by him that they try and they send these messengers to allure him from the work all the time. And, you know, Nehemiah 6:4 says something. I have this very verse up on my wall. It says that, you know, tell them I'm not coming down. I'm doing a good work. I will not come down. And that's what we need to say when our enemy is trying to stop us from the work that we need to do. And I have that verse on my wall because the enemy does that with me. You know what? It's our enemy of self-doubt. It's our enemy of fear. It's our enemy of guilt, our enemy of shame, our enemy of saying like, well, you know what? You're just going to fail at this. It's not going to amount to anything. Your work's not going to see the light of day. You know, your book's not going to get published. Your worth is not going to be seen. It's all of those things, Yosef. And it's exactly, you know, Nehemiah was just so incredible. He was just like, I'm not coming down. I'm doing a good work. That's his words. And that needs to be our response. You know, I wasn't even going to say this tonight, but I'm feeling led by the Spirit. This was not what I was going to tell you all. We were going to get on something else. But I'm feeling led by Yahweh's Spirit to just say that tonight, that there are going to be those voices. You know, there's going to be a Tobiah, Sanballat, Geshem. When you look at who they actually are in the spirit realm, and I actually did a teaching on this, you know, when you look at who they are and what they're actually trying to do, this is the words of doubt, the words of fear, the words of shame, you know, the words of accusations against you that are false. You know, it's the verbal abuse. It's all of those things that come against our lives and it's false and it can fall short. We just need to know who we are, know what Yahweh has placed in our hearts. Nehemiah knew that Yahweh had called him for this work. There was not a single moment where he doubted that. And we read that throughout the book of Nehemiah. I mean, he closes off the book by saying, Yahweh, remember me for all the good things that I've done. He was not afraid to be doing the good work, Yosef. How mightily does that speak to us?
So tremendously. You know, Leah, when you're talking about his life and you're talking about, you know, the fact that there was a remnant that went back to restore these broken walls, it's so important that we understand, like you said, the spiritual significance of the entire story and how they were the remnant of their day that went back to do what Yahweh wanted them to do. Because of wickedness and because of their sins and because of the things that they did, the walls had fallen down and the enemy had come in and destroyed what Yahweh had established. And Yahweh then raises up a remnant of people that have his heart and a desire for his glory and for what he wants. And they go back and they begin to rebuild. Nehemiah does, like you said, exactly what Yahweh is calling us as people to do in this generation, to stand for what we believe in. And he stands, and like you're saying, he doesn't want to come down. I'm not going to come down and entertain you. I'm not going to come down and do what you want me to do. I'm not going to sit with a seat of mockers, because that's what they were. They were mocking him. If you read the story later, you see how they were mocking the work that he was doing. And the Bible says that Nehemiah was busy doing that work, and he did it, you know, one hand busy building another, you know, with his sword around his waist, and he was building, and he was attentive to what the father wanted. And like you're saying, by building those walls back, it's not only about the protection of the city. It speaks to us spiritually about Yahweh's presence coming back. It's the same as what happened with Elijah. The people were rebellious, and the people allowed, you know, foreign gods to come in, and they forgot the altar of Yahweh. And Elijah comes and shows those prophets who the one true Elohim is, and then he rebuilds. And that's what's important. The rebuilding process is something that has to take place. Today, more than ever, we need people with the same heart as Nehemiah, the same heart as Elijah, and the same heart as the apostles. Their heart was to rebuild that which was fallen down so that people could serve the one true Elohim again. And today, more than ever, people are going to hate us for that. People are going to try and tear down that because they don't want the true name of Yahweh to be known anymore in the world. So Nehemiah builds, Elijah also rebuilds the altar, and he dedicates it to Yahweh, and he says to the people, you know, who choose today, whom you're going to serve, choose today. And the same applies with Nehemiah. Those people were coming against him, and I think that it's so important what you're saying, because fear, doubt, and all these things come against us, and it tries to pull away from our identity. Nehemiah's identity was secure, and that's one thing I think that when you read the story, you begin to see that his identity was secure. He didn't waver. He never questioned who he was. And as we're going to hear this evening, there was not just these people that came against him. It was a lot that he had to endure. And I think that as believers today, there is so much that we need to endure. And sometimes the opposition comes within the very camp that we find ourselves in.
You know, Yosef, Nehemiah 6:14 says the following. I'm going to read it to you. It's exactly what you're saying. It says, remember to... Now, this is Nehemiah. He's praying to Yahweh. I love that we hear his prayers in the book. It's so cool. It says, remember Tobiah, Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. And remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who are trying to intimidate me. I just really feel like leaving the building like right now. You know what? There's this prophetess, Noadiah, and there's the rest of the prophets. Ooh, yes, if this reminds you of a Passover we were at in 2017. Yeah. When someone was put outside the camp for this exact thing. You know what? You know, this is like a mic drop moment for me. Sorry, I've encountered this so many times. It's exactly what you're saying, Yosef. Mm. It's this reality of we've got to be checking our hearts. We've seriously got to be checking our hearts, because it's exactly like you said. These prophets in the city, they are prophets. These are Yahweh prophets, people. This is not false prophets. He never says they're false. He says the prophets and Noadiah. Now, he specifically mentions her because, you know what? Contrary to popular belief, the presence of prophetesses throughout, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament are very, very common. You know, there were actually many, many prophetesses. And a lot of the scholars say that, you know what, the female prophetesses were very, very popular in those days. We just don't have a lot of information on them. And they weren't bad. It's not that all of them were bad, but here we see a bad prophetess. Now, her heart, and we're going to get into this after the song, but her heart was moved by things that were going to be happening there. And what I'm going to be sharing, what we're going to be sharing with you when we come back after this song, is very, very important. And I'll tell you why. Because these prophets and Noadiah specifically, they're moved by specific things that are happening. And it's the same kind of things that can move us today. It looks good on the outside, but within it's not Yahweh's will. And this is the sword that we are going towards tonight. We are going to be walking towards this reality of looking at Noadiah, Nehemiah, and going, what did he do? What was she doing? Why was she upset about it? And how this can relate to our hearts in this particular time, and also for our lives, because, you know, it relates to the gospel message, or this watered down message that we've been hearing, where it's all about love and compassion and all of that. Whereas Nehemiah does something else that seems very contrary to that. And it's a message for us. So don't go anywhere. What is the song that you're going to play for us tonight?
I'm going to be playing a song by Casting Crowns called Life Song. It's an older song. I really enjoy this song.
Oh, it's a good song. Enjoy this song and don't go anywhere. We'll see you when we get back. We'll be right back.
held high. Such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing, bring a smile.
Great song. So welcome back to the Coffee Break. This evening we're talking about Nehemiah, and we're talking specifically about the prophetess. And Leah ended where she was starting to explain to us about this prophetess. And I want you, Leah, please, to carry on and share with us exactly, you know, what's going on with this prophetess. Because like you said, this is not a wicked prophetess. It's one of Yahweh's people that has just chosen to see things in a different way, contrary to what Yahweh's chosen, if I have to put it that way, or Yahweh's ordained person that he's called to do a specific task sees it. And that's very important, because oftentimes, especially now as we move closer to the end of days, Yahweh has said very clearly that he has chosen certain people to do certain tasks. And the word says very clearly that in the last days, brother will hate brother. And when we look at the words brother hating brother, it's not talking about, oh, your brother, you know, in your family. Yes, probably could do. But it's more talking about in the context of a community of believers. In other words, brothers and sisters in the same faith are going to turn against one another. We need to understand it like that. Because he was talking to his disciples and he was saying, brother is going to hate his brother. In other words, you are going to be looking at what I'm telling you to do. And some of you are going to go out there and do that with great zeal. But other people are going to hate you for my name. And they're going to hate what you're standing up for, because they're going to say, no, you are too militant. Or they're going to say, no, you're too, you know, you're too crazy and too focused on this. Be a little bit more relaxed. Be a little bit more, you know, loving. And Yahweh is saying, no, this is how I've created you. Nehemiah was created in a specific way to do a specific task. If he changed the way that Yahweh designed him, he might have failed in the task that he had at hand. He had to be the way that Yahweh created him to be in order to build those walls. It wasn't a small task. So Yahweh created him in the way that he was, bold, strong, courageous, so that he could do what he needed to do. And then people come along and they look at him and they say, well, you know what, you are too strong, so we need to kind of just change a little bit because you're offending too many people. And he said, no, I'm not going to change the way that Yahweh's created me, and I'm not going to change the things that Yahweh's called me to do. So he says what he says, and it causes quite a stir.
You know what? You and Nehemiah were probably related, yes.
Amen. Praise Yahweh.
Exactly. You know what? You know what? Like it says in the book of Nehemiah, which I'm not going to get into because it's such a great book. Go and read it on your own. But it actually says that Noadiah, this prophetess, sided with Sanballat and sided with these people that were against the work. How? You know, but she did. And the prophets sided with the enemies of God's people. And so these are Yahweh's people, Yahweh's prophets and all of them. Now you probably turn around and say, no, but then they're not of Yahweh. Our heart needs to be in the right place. And Nehemiah, you know what? He wasn't only just sent by Yahweh to rebuild the walls. He does so much more. And it's again, you know, where we get stuck on that Esther story. Oh, maybe you were born for such a time as this. Yeah, let's move on. You know what? It's the same with Nehemiah. Yes, he built the walls, but then let's move on. Because in Nehemiah 13, it says the following, and it's him and he's writing this. From verse 23, he says, moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, from Ammon and Moab. Wow. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other people. They did not even know how to speak the language of Judah. Wow. I rebuked them and I called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and I pulled out their hair. Wow. I made them take an oath in Yahweh's name. You're not that related to them. I took an oath in Yahweh's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, the king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign men. Must we hear now that you two are doing all these terrible wickednesses and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? One of the sons of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat. What? How? How did that guy? You know, the high priest's son has married Sanballat's daughter. Sanballat is the enemy of Israel. And yet here they're all fellowshipping. It even says here that they had actually made room in the temple for Tobiah to be sleeping in one of the rooms in the temple. What is going on in this place?
What's going on?
This is a messed up place. Mm. And you know what? People don't want to see it. And it says here that I drove him away from me. I drove the son of the high priest away from me. Remember them, my God, because they have defiled the priestly office and they have defiled the covenant of the priesthood and the covenant of the Levites. You know what? Nehemiah didn't only just build the walls. Look at what he's doing. He's come there. He knows the Torah. He knows the people were sent into exile because they disobeyed the Torah laws. Right. Here they are, back in the land, returned, you know, to this terrible reality. They had, you know, frontline evidence of what sin causes. They had returned to a broken, beaten, you know, destroyed city. Mm. That was the evidence of their sin. And yet, here they go right back into it.
Isn't that exactly what we see throughout the scriptures right from the very beginning? We see it right up into the book of Revelation, where the rebuke that that Yeshua gives is, you know, because you have fallen into idolatry, because you have served foreign gods once again. It's the same thing that happens, it seems, generation after generation, of how Yahweh's people apostatize and return back to the way that it was. And then Yahweh raises up a faithful remnant to speak out and to speak the truth. And they normally the ones that land up being hated. Mm-hmm. And those that are carrying on, or those that think that, you know, well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, they are the ones that begin to oppose the truth of Yahweh and the real righteousness of Yahweh, because they do not like what's being said, because it's kind of, well, I'm fine, everything's okay. But they're actually not serving Yahweh in the right way. And that's why Yeshua tells us continually, come out of them, my people, and be separate. Don't be defiled with these kind of things. The warning went out when we were in the church. The warning's going out again. It's continuing to go out. Don't be defiled by things where people are mixing truth with error. And it's not only in the church. It's even in the Messianic faith. It's in so many different places. That's why Yeshua says, I don't want you to associate with a man-made religious label. I want you to associate with me and my name. I want you to be like me. Then the rest will flow. And we get so caught up in that. We get caught up in I have to identify with something, instead of saying, wow, I need to identify with Yeshua and live my life for him. And that's what Nehemiah is doing. He is identifying with Yeshua. He's identifying with Yahweh. And he's identifying with the fact that Yahweh's Torah says X, Y, and Z. And because of these things, because you disobey these things, now the curses are coming upon you. So stop doing that. And stop doing it, because it's going to happen again and again and again.
And we would have, you know, people, you know, today, because it's this kind of message that we've just become soft to. Mm. Today we would say, oh, Nehemiah was a tyrant for what he did, but was he really? Mm. You know, he chastised the people based on their lack of following Yahweh's Torah. And we learn this astounding truth, like I say, that even the high priest serving in the temple of God, you know, his family are married women of foreign lineage. This is not supposed to happen in Israel. This was not supposed to happen. That thread happens all the time, and it leads to wickedness. Mm. What these people were doing was wicked. It was why Yahweh, you know, had brought this first, why he had told the Israelites when they came out of Egypt that the people that were living in the land of Canaan, the Ammonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all of them, that they were so wicked and the land was so defiled by the things that they were doing that Israel, the people of Israel, had to go in and destroy them because of their wickedness. Nothing has changed. Only now Israel are marrying them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, what we don't realize about the ancient Near Eastern world, is that nations rose up, and then once they became assimilated with other nations, they could disappear, Yosef. And if you study the history of these nations, you will see that it was so easy. If these Israelite people just began to assimilate with women of foreign, you know, nationalities and that were of pagan nations, they were bearing children that didn't even speak the language of Judah, they didn't speak Hebrew, they didn't speak Aramaic, they would have been, you know, cut off from reading the Torah because the Torah was written in those languages. Israel as a nation would have been lost. Right. And that wasn't Yahweh's will. And Nehemiah was able to discern all of these things. And yet, you know what? You know what he does? He actually says to the people, he says to the men of Judah, because they were the ones that were sinning, and the men are to blame in this story. This is the essence of the story. I'm just kidding, but only sort of. You know what? They had sinned. Yosef, they had that eyeball out for women walking by going, oh, that's nice, and I'm going to pick that one, without having any spiritual discernment. And Nehemiah calls him out. And he says to them, later on in the story, he says to them, they must, the woman that they married, as well as the children that they had from these foreign women, they must send them packing. Mm. Pack their bags and tell them to leave. Now, that again seems very, very harsh, isn't it? Now, you have these homeless women, these homeless children, right. Where are they going to go? It seems quite harsh. Mm. And I truly believe, as many scholars do believe, that have looked at these passages, that maybe this was where Noah Deer's heart was.
Yeah.
Maybe she looked at this and said, and along with some of the other prophets, and said, you know what, Nehemiah, you're going a bit far here. You know, beating these people, pulling out their hair, okay, we can deal with that. Mm-hmm. But now you're breaking up families. How can you break up families? How can you break up these families that are here? And maybe it was this reality of them going, well, you know what, first year he comes and he wants to build up the walls. And now he's just breaking up these families and their hearts are moved against him. They don't like what he's doing. He's, you know, ensuring these new policies, which are established upon Torah, which are established on a very black and white understanding of life. Nehemiah had this black and white understanding. There's no gray area with someone like this. And these kind of people, if they are righteous people and their hearts are established in Yeshua, these are the kind of people we need in the body right now, Yosef. And I know that you're smiling and laughing at this, but it is true. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of people, when a righteous person has a black and white understanding of life, they will say, listen, that is sin.
Mm.
What are you doing entertaining that? And it's very possible that that Noah Deer's heart was moved. You know, well, maybe this is not a good idea what you're doing. And the prophets are now speaking against Nehemiah because, well, he's not even a prophet. Mm. You know, he doesn't have a place in the fivefold ministry. What is he even doing here? You know, who does he think he is? Under whose covering is that guy? Well, he, you know, isn't a mouthpiece for Yahweh. We are called the mouthpiece of Yahweh. What is he doing? You know, and it's all those things. And we see these things in the body of Messiah now. And you know what? That's where we've got to have humble hearts, all of us, Yosef. We've got to have humble hearts. How many times have we been in places where the Spirit of Yahweh will come and something will be called out?
Mm.
And it shakes the body. It shakes the body to its absolute core when something that someone in that place is doing. And let me tell you something. This is not something that maybe just you and I have experienced. Sure, I'm not talking about our, you know, experiences. I'm talking about many, many, many people that we know, many, many righteous leaders that we know that have stood up in congregations and have called this out. And you know what? When Nehemiah addresses the sin, he continually talks about something that's so important and it relates to us. He continually refers to the covenant that Yahweh has made with Israel.
Right.
He wants Yahweh to remember, and he talks about the covenant of, you know, that Yahweh has with the people in love. He wants Yahweh to bless them. He wants the blessing of Yahweh to be upon the people. He wants Yahweh's manifest presence to once again fill the temple. He wants all those things, Yosef, and that is why he's trying to deal with the sin. That is why he's saying, you know what, put away the sin, put away the people that are sinning. You know, get rid of Sanballat. Why have you even married, you know, one of his daughters? Why is Tobiah, an Ammonite who isn't even part of the covenant of Yahweh, sleeping in the temple where the priests didn't even sleep? They need to do some serious house cleaning, yeah, Yosef. And when they did, Nehemiah wanted it to be so that Yahweh could dwell among them. He wasn't doing it so that he could have a place. He didn't care about that. He wanted the people, you know what, that the sting, the real sting of exile, the real sting of what they had experienced was hard and it was tough. And many people lost their lives when the Babylonians conquered Israel. When they conquered Judah, it was very, very painful. It wasn't a nice reality. Many people died and many people got assimilated and many people, you know what, lost everything. He is saying to these people, this is where you are headed if you do not sort this out. And ultimately, it was where they went again.
Isn't that, you know, Leo, what you're saying now, it's exactly what Yeshua said regarding his disciples and the reason why he gave leaders and why he gave them the gifts and the fivefold ministry, for example. It was always given for the edification of the body. It was never for their own selfish gain. It was always to help bring the body to the knowledge of Messiah. That's what it says, so that everybody might be at the same levels of maturity. And it's the same as what Nehemiah was doing, is the same that the apostles were doing, is the same that any good spirit-filled leader that Yahweh loves and that loves Yahweh wants for the people. When Yahweh's people or leaders are serving Yahweh in spirit and in truth, the aim that they have continually should always be not for themselves, but it should be to bring the body to the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, so that everybody is not tossed around by every wind of doctrine, as it says. So that's the reason. And as believers in Messiah Yeshua, it is important that we discern who our leaders are and who Yahweh has placed there for us to help us to grow and to mature. And that when they speak up and when they speak out, we have to have the spirit of discernment, and we have to ask the Father, this word or this thing that has been said, help me to understand it. Instead of being like, wow, that's a bit crazy, like this prophetess does, and then turn it around. And so often what happens in these situations too is that these kind of situations cause, like the book of Jude says, a split within the congregation. Mm. It causes such a split. And what happens many times is that, like what happened with Moses and with, you know, with Korah, the same thing. It happens where there becomes a split and people side on the wrong side oftentimes. And they decide, well, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore, so we're going to make a split. And we see that, you see it in congregations, and people go their own way and they start their own thing. And months down the line, those things fall flat and people are hurt and people are running around with a lot of pain. So it's important that we discern what Yahweh is saying and that we don't side with the wrong side just because of what we see. And then it causes so much trouble and so much pain.
Yeah, exactly. And it's true. And it's not just limited to personal leaders or leaders that we should follow. I truly believe, Yosef, that we are, you know, experiencing a time where many people want answers to what is happening. We are, you know, as a people, you know, really on our knees asking Abba Father, how do we understand our times? You know, what still is our mission? What still is the journey? And a lot of people are asking that. And a lot of people are saying, this fear of the unknown, and who do we listen to? And there's all these theories and all these conspiracies, and there's all these things happening. And I think that as a global body, we have to start looking outside of just our own world and realize that we are part of, you know, a universal congregation, as it's called, you know, many believers across different nations. And we as a people, we, the righteous, I'm talking about the righteous people of Yahweh, as it says in the Bible, the saints of Abba Father, that we need to know who we listen to. We need to know what we attend to. But also, Yosef, my final thought with this is that we always need to know, and I speak for myself and you know, just in general, we need to know where our heart is moved. Sometimes it is moved and we want it to be moved for the right thing. Noadiah could have easily been moved by the plight of people who she saw as vulnerable, people that she saw as marginalized, people that she saw as, you know, weak and mistreated, and oh, these families are being broken up and everything like that. It's not to say that we aren't to demonstrate and show love. Yes, we do. But we need to make it clear on where we stand. We can't be a liberal-minded people, or we can't be a people that is just standing up there going, oh, there's many ways to God, or, you know, that's just your little journey and it's going to be okay, and you're still going to get to God, you're so close to the Father, yet you don't know Yeshua. You know, we can't be people that say one truth and live a different truth. We've got to live the truth of the word. And I think that Nehemiah's example, as intense as it seems and as harsh as it seems, it poses an example that says to us, what do you really believe? You know, what do you really stand on? What do you really want to do with your life? What is it that you're really going to do? Are you just moved, you know, just by your heart or your emotions? Or are you moved by the spirit of Yahweh? Yeah. That causes you to intercede, that causes you to love, that causes you to give, that causes you to, you know, be a part of that thing. And so I think that it's crazy to think that there were these people that were, you know, just really actively opposing him when he was doing this amazing work. But we rejoice at the end of the story because we know that Nehemiah accomplished what Yahweh had called him to. And I think that that is the goal that we set before us. It's that song that we listen to, the life song. You know, our life is an arrow and a point in one direction. And we can get into that arrow and just fly with it towards everything that Father has for us. And we need to do that with a lot of discernment, a lot of wisdom, and also sometimes with a bit of the reality of, well, you know what, this is black and white. So this is wrong, this is right, this is good, this is bad. And I'm going to set my life, you know, in the direction that Yahweh is calling me to go. And there will be opposition. And there will be a lot of opposition, and there will be opposition from people in your own faith community, right, in your own faith group, and maybe people you love and care about. But Abba Father knows, and he's saying that he's got us, Yosef. He's totally, totally got us.
Amen. Leah, I want to say thank you this evening for sharing with us. And I really pray that every one of you that are listening this evening, that this message has spoken to you. I also want to invite you, as we go to our next song, if you have any prayer requests that you'd like us to pray for this week, please, you're always welcome to post your prayer request there, and we will always pray for you. I know that there is a lot that we go through in the week, and so I want to ask you, please, post your prayer request there, and we will pray for it. So I'm going to play a song. It's called Greater Things by Mac Brock, and I think that this song also speaks a lot, and there are greater things in store for you, greater things in store for each one of us. So let the song speak to your heart, and please post your prayer request.
Greater things.
I love that song. We're trusting in his name for greater things. You know what, Ziva, I love the comment that you had mentioned about, you know, a war calls for strong and willing military. And I remember so much at the beginning when Yosef and I were first dating and I was just getting to know him all those many years ago, not that long ago, but maybe about 12, 13 years ago. And I remember going, Yosef, I remember going with you where you were ministering the word and I didn't know you that well. And you would get that look in your eye. And I would start to recognize that look. And it would be that look of, you know, something's going down. I mean, like, oh boy, the Spirit is really speaking to you. Someone is going to be rebuked, or someone is going to be told to stand up because we need to pray for you. And you know what? Like, it was so amazing every time when I would witness that right at the beginning. Now I'm just used to it and on the same level. But at that stage, I wasn't. You know, used to seeing someone doing that often. And when I witnessed that, the amazing thing was the testimonies that I would hear after that. You know, the amazing thing, and I remember meeting demon-possessed children at the school that we went to and just praying for them and just, you know, casting out those demons. And the testimonies, Yosef, the testimonies that would come after those times. I mean, one time, 200 kids, and because of what happened and how Yahweh moved between them, you know, a month later, there was 1,000 kids there that came to fellowship. So there were the testimonies, and that's what happens when people recognize the power of Yeshua, when it's strong and it's, you know, some people would say militant, when it's, you know, black and white, people, you know, Yeshua can move. Yeshua moves among us when we cast off our sin, when we truly repent, and when we broken before him. It's so incredible, and it's just amazing. And again, like I said, the testimonies and the things and the deliverance that people would have, it's so important. And so I guess I just wanted to honor you in that way, and also just to say thank you to Yeshua that he does that with us. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want to leave us. I would rather stand in the congregational setting and Yeshua is going to rebuke me and tell me, Aaliyah, let's deal with this thing now, man. You know, you've been holding on to this for too long. And I'll be like, yes, let's deal with it. Because when I move forward, it will be forward in grace and mercy and truth. And that's what we should be looking for. So Yosef, can you pray for us?
Let's do that. Father, we just want to thank you tonight in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you are so gracious and compassionate, so long-suffering with us, and Father, that you desire for every single one of us, even those that will listen later, Father, to this teaching, Yahweh, to be strong, to be courageous, mm-hmm. Father, to be of those, just like Nehemiah, Father, that will not waver on two opinions, Yahweh, just as Elijah cried out to the people, Father, and said, choose you this day on whose side you're going to stand. Which side are we going to stand, Father? I believe tonight that there are many, Father, that are going to choose, Yahweh, to walk that narrow path that leads to life, Father, to be the one, Father, in the million that says, I am not going to bow down to this mm-hmm. idol. I'm not going to bow down to my flesh. I'm not going to allow my flesh to overcome me, but I'm going to stand up and I'm going to march forward with Messiah Yeshua inside of me and leading me. And I pray for that this evening, Father, over every single person that has joined us, every single person that will listen to this teaching, Father. I want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, that you will break down every single wall that hinders them, Father, every single ideology and mindset, Father, that tells them that they are not worthy, Father, that tells them that they are never going to amount to anything, that holds them back, Father, from becoming who they have been created to be, Father. And maybe even when they pray, when they spend time with you, Father, maybe there are so many different voices telling them so many different things. We ask tonight, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will silence every voice that is not of you, Father, and that your voice, Father, will resound inside of their hearts, Father, and that they will hear clearly. Father, this evening we also want to thank you, Father, for our sister Christy. I thank you, Yahweh, that she continues to go out there, Father, and be a witness for you. And we want to pray, Father, for these two guys, Father, Dan, that is, and Colby, Father, the one that is in the Jehovah's Witness, and the other one, Father, that is living with his girlfriend, Father, and they don't have a clue, Father, of what they are actually doing. And Father, we want to pray today, Father, for their eyes, Father, their spiritual eyes to be opened, Father, for their hearts to be moved, Father, and for her, Yahweh, in the name of Yeshua, to have the ability, Yahweh, to be a witness to them, Father, on a daily basis, Father, where there will be so many things said to them, Father, that will blow their mind away, and Father, that they will know, Yahweh, because of what has been said to them, Father, that there truly is this one Elohim, Father, a God that loves them, a God that cares for them, a Father that wants their hearts, Father, and desires an intimate relationship with them. So, Father, we pray that you will protect our sister, that you will be a shield around her, and, Father, that wherever she goes, wherever she witnesses, Father, that she will be strong and courageous. And we thank you, Father, that this is who she is. But we also pray tonight, Father, as I said, for these two young men, Father, to come to the knowledge of who you are in a great and in a powerful way. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray that as we go into a new week, Father, that there will be new things, Father, in store for us. Father, new understanding, going deeper in your word, Father, understanding your heart more during this time. And Father, that we will not allow the depression and the heaviness, Father, of this lockdown and the things, Father, that are happening in the world to get to us, Father, but that we will seek you in the beauty of holiness, and Father, that you will give us the strength, Father, that we need to face every single day. And we thank you for this. We bless you and we honor you. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to say thank you to each and every single one of you for joining us. It's been so great to be on the coffee break tonight with all of you. And we have to wave goodbye and say shalom, shalom and shavuot tov. But we hope that you'll be with us next week. So have a wonderful, wonderful week. Remember that we are still counting the Omer all the way up to Shavuot towards the end of the month. And so that's going to be crazy, Yosef, just having a very different celebration for Shavuot. But let's pray and continue to just intercede and just, you know, continue to ask Abba Father to turn the tide on what we see happening in our world and in our nations. And Abba Father, we know that he can do it. So I really just want to pray a blessing over each and every single one of you. Have a great week and see you next week. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. We're going to be playing out this evening with a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called We Believe, and I pray that it will speak to you. Till next week, shalom.
Declare your glory, the skies sing the work of your hands, and day after day they call out and say, believe. The oceans are telling your story over and over again, wave after wave they call out and say, revelation. You've lifted our heads and opened our eyes, and this is our declaration. We believe.